Sovereign giving, exploring self-healing, emotional energy transformation, and science with Siobhan Nicolau. Discover how understanding and transforming emotional energy can dissolve misconceptions around ghosts, demons, and past lives, interpreting them as manifestations of emotional energy. Siobhan sheds light on using higher consciousness or love to transmute emotional energy back to its foundational light essence, reclaiming the unity of the soul. Siobhan also shares the profound connection between the source of giving and the nature of the gift bestowed, guided by laws of physics, metaphysics, and scientific principles. Explore the transformative power of love, light, and higher consciousness in this enlightening discussion. Welcome to the Wellness Driven Life Show, where you're about to go on a wellness driven ride. I'll share a little about the guests that we have here today. Siobhan Nicolau is a seasoned expert in emotional energy transformation with over 30 years of experience awakening individuals to higher consciousness. Through her unique process and teachings in EET, she guides clients to use love and higher consciousness to transform emotional energy into light, leading to personal healing and empowerment. Currently working on her second book, Siobhan continues to facilitate profound shifts in consciousness globally, empowering individuals to take control of their journey towards sovereignty and transformation. I am so pleased to help welcome to our stage today, Miss Siobhan.
Oh, thank you so much, April, for having me. It's really great to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. You know, your life's work is very much in alignment with so much of what I love to preach, you know, or to say. Preach is probably a horrible word, but I love to discuss. I love to share. I love to share the experiences that we have, the feelings and emotions that turn into beliefs based on those experiences, and now the science to back it. So that's so cool. Love it. And I'm excited to share your journey on the Wellness Driven Life Show. So truly welcome. And let's get started by sharing with the audience a little bit more outside of that beautiful biography about you.
Well, my journey began in 1988 when I received my wake-up call and my initial wake-up call. And before that, my life had been the pretty dark, normal human experience. Ever since then, it was like a hand reached through the door and grabbed me, and my life has never been the same since. It put me on a journey that was at first in division of myself. And then I was put upon another path, which I couldn't deny, and it became the path that I continue to evolve within today and help many others do the same. So this work, even though I speak to the science and even things in the realm of medicine, I am not a doctor or a scientist, but I could tell you through my journey through my own soul, which I continue to do, it's a continual process. It never ends. I have gleaned a tremendous amount of awareness and information, and I've just gathered that information through reclaiming the light of my soul. So through my many experiences and practices as spirit has put me on, you know, in front of many of them, that's where this wisdom comes from. I really have made it a practice not to read other people's books on the subjects. I think getting it out there and talking about it is great with people, giving them an experience where they learn how to actually feed themselves is really what we're all about. We're all about sovereignty, claiming your power, becoming, realizing yourself as the sole source of everything that you need on your journey, and really fostering that within individuals. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, isn't that where the hard lessons really do come into play, is that understanding that everything is truly within yourself. It starts with the self, right? And it's not anything that's outside of you. So this is going to be a great conversation. Siobhan, do you mind sharing with us a little bit about that first initial hit back in 1988, what that was like for you, and some of the things that you really started understanding and waking up to?
Well, I had kept a pretty good lid on my emotional pain. You know, I was pretty darn good at it, I must say. You know, I was the perfect model in society's, measured by society's standards, you know, working out and bathing suit contests and drinking after work all the time and best in sales and all these different things like that. But it was really just a life that I knew. And then the pain in my life came to it's like this threshold, this level that I couldn't deny anymore. And it came through tragedies within my own family. And that's what kind of let the lid off of my inability to truly feel. And then I couldn't deny it anymore. And so it put me on the path to seeking something other than what I had done to alleviate the pain I didn't even know I was in. So I worked first with this well-known psychic of the time. Her name was Marcy Calhoun, and she taught an intuitive development class and also meditation. That was the first time I had ever opened up my mind to the light. And that is when the door opened and the hand, I say, grabbed me, and it's never been the same. And so things shifted on a dime. In my first book, I take you through that entire journey up until 2015 of what that process has been like and what I have been put through in order to teach me what I am so proficient in today. So then I went on the path. It was a big deal back then, like Esther Hicks and I think it was Lee Carroll, and everybody was woke up to channeling back then. That was the trend that spirit had us on. So my first true delving into my emotional state was through a woman who is not only an MA, but a channel and a clinical hypnotherapist. And she had this workshop she created that was a Werner Erhard based. You're not old enough to remember those, Est. But anyway, so she created this platform for a workshop through these tools, and it was really profound in my own healing. It just dropped the veil of my denial like I had never been able to see before. And so I worked with her through these workshops, and then I did her. I learned how to channel, and then I became a channel. And I was having so much fun with that. And I was a big knower of the truth, and I gave really great readings and all of this impeccable information. But it came a point a few years later, about 4 years into it, where the guidance that I was being given through channeling told me that they wanted me to realize that I was the information I was seeking bringing through. So they wanted me to switch gears. And my mind couldn't understand what they were saying, but I felt it so deeply, I couldn't ignore it. So that was my path into really bringing the golden light, using the golden light within the emotional and physical bodies, which brought what I had been in denial of at the deepest levels to the surface to be reclaimed as light. And so I was just guided through my process of learning how to make the love that I am conscious first, and then use the consciousness of love that I am to transform what within me doesn't know itself to be the love that it is.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, that's a tongue twister, but yeah, it makes sense to me. But for the audience, can you describe a little bit of what that golden light is? And you're correct. Yes. You know, you're talking about really coming to an understanding of love of, you know, they say that the closer you get to source, that that is pure love. It's unconditional love that you, that of which you have never experienced before. And, you know, as you continue getting closer and nearer and understanding it, each time you access it, it seems like even deeper love than you've ever experienced before. And it, you just think, well, how can this keep getting better and better and better? And it just does. It's like that infinite possibilities, right? There's infinite love that we just do not have an understanding of. But as we slowly start to tap into it and realize that that too is what we're made of, it seems to me like you were mentioning that, you know, that of which is inside of you, even though you have this understanding and awareness that, yes, this is the essence of love. But when things happen or tragedy happens or dis-ease in the body happens, we realize that those aspects need to reflect the same love.
Well, what I found was, you know, as I was learning how to love myself into wholeness, how incongruent I was to just know all this truth and how my physical and emotional body didn't reflect the truth that I knew. And I find that to be true in a lot of cases still today. And it's no big deal. Everybody has a choice and they have a piece to the puzzle. Our particular piece to the puzzle evolved into just what we said, showing people. So the reason we go through this in my second book really powerfully, the difference between white light in this dimension and golden light in this dimension, and how source is the white light we all aspire to, and everybody wants to go straight to that consciousness and miss the whole step of love to get there. And love is like the vibration that everything in this reality is made from. Therefore, it can transform back to the essence of itself, which is that love. And within that love is the source energy, which is the white light, which gives it life. So source energy gives everything life, even love. But if you don't come to love first, then you're going to be forever in the world of duality through your perception. And, you know, a lot of spiritual people are still in duality. And, you know, to come to wholeness on any given subject is really where you begin to be that love in the world more profoundly. There can't be division, because where there is division, there is not love.
Right. Period. Well, it sounds to me like that said, you're still putting something outside of yourself. You're still, you know, when you're separating, and not putting into play the self-love and projecting it only into something else, which is source. You know, that's a challenging thing to comprehend.
You have to really experience it. It's like people, that's why this path is so narrow, because a lot of people don't want to take it. They don't want to invest in themselves, which is the most important investment they can make. And I don't mean just a weekend workshop where they go throw it all up and fill it all with light. I mean, I call that spiritual bulimia. They have to keep going back. It's an addiction, you know? It's like, if you just awaken the love that you are within you and work with the love that you are, you'll realize there really is nowhere to go. And I'm not saying don't go to workshops. I'm saying go to a workshop with a proper perspective and utilize what is important to you, and then do the inner work to integrate what that piece is in your journey.
And like you said, it's a constant thing, but I agree with you. I love your term, spiritual belief. I think that it's easy to make it into something else or a trend or
an addiction. Trends.
Yes, there are so many trends. And we, you know, and initially I did not interview a lot of people in the trend mode on this platform, because I want something deeper, something more real. So, and it is, it can be difficult to weed through the BS, you know, like, and to be able to see exactly what that is. You have to go through a few experiences and meet a few people to really understand the differences. But this is an exciting conversation, because
said it though. You said it, you know, without realizing it. Like, people, they don't know what they're looking at, right? So it all boils down to emotion.
Yes.
And every situation boils down to negative emotion. And we have found in our work that negative emotion is the source of all division in your mind. It begins in the emotional body first. People think it all starts with the mind. No, your mind is simply interpreting how you feel. You're just so out of touch with how you feel. You don't know it's actually a feeling.
Can you say that again? That's brilliant.
We're going to have to rewind this because I don't think I can.
Yeah, you're so out of touch in how you feel.
Yeah, how you feel.
Your mind can't tell the difference.
The mind is actually interpreting how you feel. It's always the child in you that feels that way. It's never the adult. And that conversation that they're having, you know, is just revealing the feeling that they're having. But we're taught in the society to give credence to the mind. The mind knows it all. And we keep being split more and more and more from being able to love ourselves. Because it isn't enough to know. And that's what I found in channeling. It's like through the process of learning through this first beautiful teacher who I so dearly love, she taught me, my mind just naturally opened to the who's, what, where's, when's, and how's it all happened. But this black cloud was still following me around because that black cloud was how I felt about all of it, not just the knowing of how it happened. And now we evolve into realizing, you know, that the story doesn't even matter. If you just pay attention to how you feel and love yourself in the moment, when we teach all kinds of energy management and things like that, then it really doesn't matter the story. The patterns repeat themselves continually through your relationships. Even the science of genetic, what do they call it? They say genetics plays a role in physical illness. And we just find that to be patterns of energy. Negative emotion, emotional patterns that have been repeated through behaviors and words and imprinted in children for generations. And so the pattern is the same within the physical body. The physical and emotional body work hand in hand. And it's called the illusion in this dimension. Well, the only source of what people call evil is also negative emotion. So when we ask people, which we're asking people right now, we want to get 500 people to give us their yes or no answer simply, do you believe in evil or not? These are people who are spiritual, yet believe that everything else is an illusion, but, you know, it's not. It's interesting. It's very interesting. So we ask the tough questions and we kind of rub people the wrong way, but, you know.
Oh, no, I love that. So that said, what is that like for you? Because you do talk about, you know, whatever we portray as ghosts, spirits, all of those things, you're saying this is all energy, perfect sense. It's emotional. It makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. Because when you start to learn more of that science, the more of the frequency of which we emit, it's all tied to emotion.
Negative
and
emotion.
That's the emotional frequencies that are emitted from us. And then it can become really this mirror, right? Effect, so to speak. And so tell me, what is it like about this emotional energy? Can you explain a little bit about that? And if you might add on to that, just to have a little bit of fun, but when you talk about channeling, what is it with other entities? And how does that come into play?
Well, source energy is everything, not just one thing. So when someone chooses to individuate, then they become what they believe or they're taught to believe is separate. And then the whole game is to come back into the whole of who they are.
Right. It's a fun game.
It's like the game of duality. It's just nuts. And so, you know, when I was channeling years ago, when I first woke up, I channeled a being named Octavar from the Ashtar Command. And he was my joy guide. And I loved him. And we gave some fun readings and stuff like that. But I also realized that he is a part of who I am. So I'm just channeling the joy in me, the wisdom and the joy that I felt was separate than, you know, from me, within me. I've integrated so much of my ego or the negative emotion within me, because that's where all ego comes from. That's all it is. That the truth that I bring forth from the love that I am would be considered more of the source energy or the white light that comes forth from within the love. So it is, different. It's what gives love life. So there are an infinite amount of individuated sparks of consciousness that you can either recognize and do the work to resonate with it within the whole of your being and bring it from, or you can continue to bring it through. But it takes a lot of culturing to do that, because you have to overcome so much of the ego within you before that's actually what's happening.
So when you, channeling is fascinating to me, and I'm learning a little bit more. I have a great friend, very close friend of mine, who is learning how to do so. And so we've talked about this process as he's just beginning in it. And I'm like, you know what? I would be terrified initially to allow something other than myself. But the way that you describe it, Siobhan, is that it is all you. And I think that that concept of that we are all one has been one of the most difficult for me personally, and I believe to be one of the most difficult for most of us, where we don't want to relate to something that we consider to be, evil. Right? If we want to bring that back into play. And so we don't want to relate. We say, I would never, right, be a part of. And so it can be difficult to understand this oneness and this complete essence of all loving. But the way you describe that.
When you face yourself with judgment, you divide. Like, you cannot heal a wound within you. You can't heal an illness seeing yourself as sick. Because then you're taking something to do something to exact a specific outcome, which by definition is manipulation. There are so many well-meaning people that are
constantly manipulating ourselves.
We're trying to get this to happen because this is bad over here. And as long as you're seeing bad over there, you're going to keep needing to manipulate to make it go away, to whatever you do. And it's always from the outside in most cases. This is why, you know, we show people how to bring forth that is who they are within them. So the Octavar is the joy in me, but it was also an individuated part of consciousness. I don't know. Like, that's a fascinating thing, because there's so many. Well, we're all extraterrestrials, right? But some of us come direct, come through form to find ourselves, and some come directly from the sky into people. So they wait. I mean, it's just this whole game of separation. So that's too much to unpack. But but if you want to get to, like the energy that people perceive as ghosts and things like that. So if you're having a normal human experience, then you believe that you're going to be here and do all the normal human things. And then your body's going to die and your soul leaves the body and goes to heaven. Well, the soul and your spirit are two different things, unless you transform the soul to become the spirit that it is. The physical body will subsequently become more light as you transform more of the emotional energy living within the form, because that's where it lives. So you can literally reclaim your physical body as well as experience the spirit that you know yourself to be.
Well, that's the end goal, correct? Is to transform into going back into, well, from what I understand, you want to get to the point, the higher evolution or the highest evolution is to be in both the physical and the spiritual, which creates the souls, that correct?
Well, there really is no physical either, because the more that you transform the duality with love, which is a really important step in the evolutionary process, that's the thing people talk a lot about and act a lot. They act loving, but it's really not extended from the source of love within themselves.
Siobhan, I live in Texas, and bless your soul is a common term that they like to throw around. I don't know if you know about that and what that means.
Bless your soul. So they look down their nose at you when they say that, or what?
Yeah, it reminded me when you said, some people they act loving and caring, but internally that is not.
Typically, that's a religious conditioning where we give to others because we have to. And that in itself divides because we're seeing them as less than. So we're better because we give to those who do not have. But in truth, there's no such thing as those that do not have, only those that don't know that they too have. There is no such thing as poverty. And as long as we keep empowering poverty, they're never going to learn how to feed themselves. They'll never know the truth of who they are. And on that subject, we like to bring out and point out to people that homeless people manifest millions of dollars through our pockets every single year. And what is so impoverished about that? They have a place to go. They have places to sleep. It's not everybody's experience that they're on the street. And most of the people that are there, what I've observed, are on drugs, and they're not even feeling the condition as much as we're feeling them in their condition. Because our emotions come into play seeing them in their plight, but they don't even feel the plight that they're in a lot of cases. Some people actually prefer to be on the street because they're actually feeling like they live a free life.
Yeah.
They feel so confined and so overburdened by the demands of society. And hey, I feel that way with technology now. I'm like, I'm a freaking dinosaur. Okay.
I know.
What the heck? It's like evolve or die, right? I'm like, oh my God, I got to get on the fast track, you know? But when we look at things like, say, ghosts and demons, right? And all these things people became fascinated with. I get it. I've watched spirit over the years, over the decades in this industry, in this way of being, you know, how channeling was when I woke up at the time of the harmonic convergence. Fast forward to, you know, 2013 was more God consciousness. We have mediumship came on the scene. It's all these things. Angels came on the scenes in the 90s. I mean, all of a sudden the veils were thinner and we could begin to experience these things more readily in our world, which is really kind of cool. But then we have to evolve to get what's really going on within these experiences. So we look at ghosts. Now, the soul is divided. Spirit is not divided. Spirit gives the soul life, and this, and it is actually spirit if we can transform it into the experience of our spirit. So when the body dies, again, like we said a minute ago, the soul is just goes to heaven, so people think. But the soul is actually the emotional energy that we leave behind. Because remember, emotional energy and the physical and the body go hand in hand, and they're the illusion. So they stay on the planet. Why do you think the planet's so thick with all this division? Because nobody, everybody's leaving this huge carbon footprint when they leave. So what happens is we come back and people go, oh, it's our past life. Well, yeah, because you're experiencing it because you left the energy here on the planet and it's reflecting itself all over in your experience. And you've left a ghost somewhere when you died. You've left that emotional imprint, and that's what's active until it's transformed. This is why the work we do to help transform my own emotions and that we teach other people how to do within their own emotional bodies, we are really good at transforming homes. And believe me, I have worked with some really nasty emotional energy left here.
Yeah.
Murders, mass murders. All kinds of things where it's, that's the last chapter of my book.
No, I love it. It's so fun. And it makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm going to go ahead and share one of my experiences in law enforcement, because you see a lot of death.
So
my first suicide case was a woman who had just dropped her kids off on the school bus. And so, and then she killed herself in her bed. But as I was entering into the home, I'm passing pictures, family photos on the wall, very happy, really joyful, travel pictures, you know, the whole family. And, I'm like, wow, you know, this is really nice. And then as it starts to literally feel cold and dark, like I'm walking into a horror scene. And so I enter into the bedroom where she went, and she's on the bed. And, you don't go into law enforcement because, you have to be fascinated and intrigued by some of these things and forensic science and all of those things are totally what I was into and excited about and curious about, that there was a lot of curiosity. Well, the way in which she had done it, some things didn't look quite right. So I grabbed my flashlight to look a little closer and to investigate a little more to see and understand what was happening or what did happen. And all of a sudden I felt like this hovering darkness over me. And I swear I heard this voice that said, "Back off." And I did. I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, I get it, back off. But that was one of the first experiences I had where, you know, you really come to an understanding. People who are in first responder, people who are in the medical field, they really get to see this more, where we shelter it so much in the U.S. Definitely, we shelter death. We shelter that. You know, that's why you get rubber necks on the highway when there's been a tragic scene, because people don't see it very often.
They don't see emotional energy. And if people could actually see it and were so in tune with the vibration of it, they'd see it coming. I have observed, and spirits put me on the freeways many times, where an accident will continue to happen in the same place over and over and over, because the energy of the accident is still active. And so we actually do remote and in person. We will go to a site where someone was killed on the spot and transform the emotional energy of what happened there. If people go and they walk through houses with sage and they think that that's enough, and it's really not what's going on. There's a lot more to this work. I think there was a couple of real hard cases that I had, but the biggest one was transforming the energy of the Boston Strangler on Beacon Hill, along with three of the people he killed up there. And Spirit had to put me in that situation unbeknownst to me. And it took me 18 months to actually work with and transform the soul of Robert DeSalvo. That guy was something else, and it attacked me all the time. And there's a whole way to not have it affect you, but you have to work with the consciousness. You have to be more of the consciousness of non-duality in order for you not to be affected by it. It's like you walk into the lion's den and you're walking right through everything, because nothing can touch you and nothing can actually really see you. But that energy has a way of ferreting me out. Like if I go into a place where the field of energy changes and I'm aware of it, I'm aware that they're aware that they've made me aware that I'm there. Like, everybody's just got some respect going on. Okay, I know that you're here, and you know, it's kind of and I don't do anything unless I'm really asked to do it either. Go in to do something because you should or you have to, or hey, I'm this medium who has all this, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, Siobhan, that is all fascinating to me. And you know, I can only imagine the amount of work that you have had to learn to do in order to protect yourself from those energies, to not go completely insane. And, you know, because that's heavy, that's a lot. I mean, even just my experience. And it's so interesting, because at the time, my three daughters were very young, and I swore I will never be so selfish, right, as to take my own life. And then, of course, life happens and things get heavy and things get rough. And then all of a sudden, those energies are coming back at you and they're saying, oh, really? You know, what do you think now? And it's interesting about how those things can haunt you. And like you mentioned with some of these, these really nasty stuff where people are psychopaths and they're committing murders and they're doing horrendous things.
And it's all energy. It's all negative emotion. And if people learn how to love themselves, there's less and less and less of the negative emotion within them to create these external experiences. One of our sayings is, ignorance is ignorance. It's the part of yourself that you deny and then fight an external reality. And so if people would just stop judging themselves, because all judgment comes from self, and learn how to be the love that they are as themselves, for themselves, to transform the self, they would be doing everybody a great service. And because we're all connected, we're like a big zero. We're not even a one. You know, one in itself says, in comparison to what, in relation to what. But if you look at yourself as a zero, like with this big circle that just keeps expanding, 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 it never breaks and it just keeps expanding. That's what we're all doing. And it's like if everyone just swept their own porch.
Yeah.
But people are conditioned to go out and help others and not themselves. And so their ability to truly, give the gift that is intended to be given isn't often able to be received because it's not on the vibrational frequency of love. It's from another place entirely. So we're just really the problem and the solution all in one.
Ah, Siobhan, you are fascinating. I just love this. So when we get back from this commercial, and speaking of love, this commercial, I hope will resonate with many and be a little guidance in that direction. But we're talking about self-healing. We're talking about sovereign giving. And so when we come back, let's talk about that giving piece, but also on the conversation of what it takes and the work that you have to do with yourself first. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take control of your ride to wellness? Rev up with Driven Livin'. Visit www.drivenlivin.com and buckle up for a journey. Get exclusive access to our Wellness Driven Life Show guest portal, where you can dive deep into the minds of our esteemed guests. Sign up for our newsletter and get insider scoops on these distinguished personalities. It's like having a backstage pass to their life-changing wisdom. But that's not all. You'll also receive a free hug. You heard me right, a free hug. An enlightening ebook from the Driven Livin' team. Discover the science-backed benefits of hugging yourself. It's a fill-up for your wellness tank. Because at Driven Livin', we believe in fueling your journey to wellness, both physically and psychologically. So what are you waiting for? Visit www.drivenlivin.com today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Candy Apple Advocacy, the podcast for parents who want to advocate for their children's education. I'm Jim Mallard, and I'm here with my wife, Tabby.
We've been through the trenches of raising kids in the school system and know how tough it can be, but we also know how essential it is to advocate for your child and their education.
That's why we started this podcast, to share our experiences and insights with other parents to help them become more effective advocates for their children.
On this podcast, we'll talk about everything from general education, general school advice, the school choices you have available to you, different education styles, individualized education plans, 504s, and all those key terms that you've heard but don't know what they are. We'll talk to experts. We'll also talk to parents and hear their stories. We'll share our stories with you and give you tools you need to be a strong advocate for your child and yourself.
Whether you're a new parent or have been in the game for a while, we invite you to join our community. Let's advocate together.
Welcome back, everyone, here with Siobhan. And you're just an incredible human being. I love this conversation.
Thank you.
And so we've talked a lot about self-healing, emotional energy transformation, and all of that, science backed behind it a little bit. And we're going to jump into that giving aspect. Because there's so much to be said about service, servitude. And I want to start out because this is going to be, my lack of growth, but I would love to share with you, Siobhan, a little bit about an experience or some thoughts that I've been having lately, which is very interesting to me. So I came across a post of the Dalai Lama, and what's interesting too is when I was younger, the Dalai Lama visited Colorado and I was a teenager and he kissed my hand. And I have some neighbors that are very, very in tune and religious with that culture. And they said to me how rare that was and how special that was. It was like being kissed by God, right? And so they have this idea of that. So that's just a little tad of history. Well, I saw this post and it was the Dalai Lama being interviewed. And he said something about how, the message that we should bring back to for people in the US is that we should think about others more than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we should, it's that servitude aspect, but thinking about others over ourselves. And Siobhan, I'm at this point in my life to where I am working on transitioning into that of which no longer serves me and moving into, you know, an outside of relationships, people, places, things that no longer serve me, and working more towards the self-healing, because I believe it all starts within. And when I take responsibility for myself and my own self-growth, it in turn, it opens up that positive energy outside of myself.
You are serving others by right. serving.
So do you, so but I found myself feeling like he's wrong. And here I am saying this on this platform.
It's like the most profound thing you can do is learn to love yourself, because we are all connected. We are all that love. And every time we transform a veil of illusion within ourselves, it seriously alters the collective. And so if all we did was focus on loving ourselves, I mean, you can't help but share that consciousness because you become that consciousness, and then that consciousness is what is conveyed. And you can walk into a store and not say a thing and affect 1,000 people around you because the vibration of you is so high. You don't have to go out and hang a shingle and wear a robe. I am so irreverent with this stuff. I really am. It's just like, I looked at people back in the old days, because I'm more inclined to an Armani suit. And I'd say, you know, all I have to do is shave my head and wrap myself in an orange sheet, and you know what? People would bow down to me. Mm-hmm. And I just made just really disrespectful comments like that, because I see the way people are led into that. They're the way they perceive love prevents them from receiving it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you love yourself, you're giving back to everything, and you can't help but extend that no matter what you're doing. You don't need to do anything special. You just need to be who you are. And love is very special. It is more special to find somebody who just is loving to themselves so they can give that to others than it is to do something for recognition. When the Dalai Lama spoke of that, what I feel he was saying was that we as a Western society have become very self-absorbed, which is true. But in the outward way, in the material way, in the life way, me first,
more,
you know, that kind of thing. I don't think, you know, he was talking about self-love. I think he was thinking about how we are not so willing to see or even notice someone who we could perhaps uplift. And it could be through a word. It could be through money. I went through that a long time ago. You know, in the way I was learning to give, I had a sister who killed herself. She, you know, she was into drugs, she was into alcohol, she was all that stuff. And she was on the street, and she was a hooker. And then through that phase of that, I was judging her all those years ago. And so when I would see somebody homeless or downtrodden or something that wanted money, you know, I was really conflicted with that until one day it just occurred to me as I was going into my spirit, more spiritual self, that either give to somebody or don't, but don't judge them one way or the other. Like, give because you want to, not because you have to, not because you should. And, you know, I don't do anything unless I'm inspired, period. Mm. Don't judge them. If I'm called to do something, I do it. And that's my guide for giving. But we look at families and neighborhoods and people, and they are more about isolating themselves rather than they are giving. And our society, unfortunately, very soon is going to be forced into having to care about each other. Yeah. Because as things continue to change in the way of AI and other things, there are going to be millions of people who we're not prepared. And so here everyone's forced. Notice when something like COVID happens or something like 9/11, people are, unless they're forced to be kind to their neighbor, they will not extend a thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, the way that people make choices and react when certain things happen. I mean, when we go into historical documentation, what we have from the Holocaust and what happened with that. And, you know, those are extremes, and extremes can happen. And it's interesting how people will just follow others, or it will be very self-motivated. Like you mentioned, it's not about self-love. There's a big difference there with, and okay. when you're talking about the material, and I think when we have an understanding of more of that spiritual side of ourselves and know that we don't ever just disappear, you know, but it's also with those energies that we leave behind. So maybe you should think about that on every choice that you make.
Yeah. The Holocaust and things like that are going to continue to play themselves out because the people who have been affected for generations, that pattern of energy still lives within them and it has not been transformed. You know, have you noticed how the loop, what some people call it cycles, I call it the loop. Humans are never going to get out of this loop of duality unless they turn to love, because love is the, duality is the door, love is the key, and God is the revelation. That's the way we look at it. So you're in duality. The, love is the key to open the door to transform that so you can actually experience heaven on earth. So, you know, that is the key to the kingdom. And so as it says, you know, you can't, you won't enter the kingdom unless you're perfect. Well, you know, you already are, and people can agree with that. But when you love, that's the level of perfection that then leads to your experience of the spirit that gives love life. At least that's been my experience. So there are many patterns that are going to repeat themselves because people won't deal with how they feel. I mean, negative emotion is responsible for all wars. It's responsible for the giving that you're talking about, which comes from guilt in a lot of cases. So when anything's given from guilt, if you heal the guilt, oh my God, how freeing of the heart is that? Where you can just be so joyful in the giving. It's like, oh my God, I'm free to give because I want to give, not because I have to give, because I should give, because it's, I'm a good person if I do, and I'm supposed to look down my nose at these people who do not have, and you keep, people, just humans keep dividing and dividing and dividing because the division lives within their unintegrated emotions. Mm. It is responsible for even mental illness. We touch on that in the book. There are so many cases of mental illness that are misdiagnosed because they're looking at the chemical imbalance as if it was created in the brain itself, but it is really created in the emotional body first.
Yes.
And the stresses and things create then the physical response, which is the chemical imbalance. And it's the actions from things that make something evil. It's not, evil doesn't exist. Evil is negative emotion. And when you're, it goes unchecked and untransformed and
it becomes action.
It has a life of its own. It has a life of its own. It acts itself out. I mean, yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's wild. If people could see it, it literally floats around. It's like everybody looks like a pig pen. You know? You got little dust clouds in their aura, right? But they're hoping nobody can see them. And they push them down with all this light sometimes. And it's like, yeah, but you get close to them and something isn't copacetic. You know, something's kind of a little off. And it's like, dude, get over yourself. I mean,
well, you can feel those energies. Well, at least I know I can. If you get up, you're close to somebody and something just doesn't feel quite right.
I don't be totally transparent and just, you know, nobody's perfect in this world. We're all here to learn how to love. And if we can just continue to love ourselves, we can then love others. And there's a lot of truth to that. And love is a step on the path of source. It's not the end game. People think love's it. And I'm like, yeah, well, truth is beyond the need to be loved. You are the source of love itself. Therefore, there's no need to be loved. And that's what happens when you love yourself enough that then you can be that love without needing to be loved. And so many people need love, but they look for it outside of themselves and they leave their heart empty and their search for love unending. And it's so incredibly sad. Because for me, it seems like it's, I feel like I kind of live more of a militaristic path because, you know, it seems a lot more regimented or, but it just, truth is a path that is not for everyone. People really don't, you know.
It's, you know, it takes, it's courage. Difficult getting there. It takes courage. And then you have to continue in on that. And so, it's, I mean, people are more comfortable otherwise. And so it's interesting. I had a comment left on one of my other programs, one of the other interviews of a person who was talking about his heartbreak. So I think I'm going to make a little clip out of this and send it to him because that's just beautiful, Siobhan. And so I love how you talk about that, you know, these emotional energies really and those negative or darker energies, you know, eventually turn into action. And this is you know, biologically ingrained in us from generation after generation, past lives, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yep.
But you know, what I love about what you're talking about is it's doing the work, doing that self-love and understanding it more, researching it more, feeling it more. And, you know, that's what really helps. There's so many people that talk about, oh, we must heal the past lives. Well, to me, and I would love to know your understanding of it and your thoughts on this, because I don't care to sit in that. I am more future forward, sort of present moment. This is, you know, yes, that already happened. Maybe it helps and gives you a better understanding of why you feel and act the way that you do, but it doesn't solve the situation. So now what? And so moving forward, how do we change and transition?
Well, it's like, again, I find that these things, like in the beginnings of my own spiritual path, like you'll read about it in the book, did channeling. Then when I found the golden light, then things started to come to the surface I had no idea were there. And it was important for my path to be able to, what we call past lives are literally energies that are reenacting themselves in this life. So we don't need to literally go back to where the scene was. We don't need to remember the story. We just need to remember. And see, this work that we teach, you don't need to pay attention to the story. When you heal how you feel, the story will reveal. So I've always gotten my information on the backside of the healing more so than in the front. But in the beginning, because I was so mental, I had all my light concentrated in the upper part of the aura from channeling. My clairvoyance is very good, but it was really on fire back then in a totally different way. And so it was easy for me to see these visions, know these things, get the see, feel vibe from people and work through these things. So for me, I think a lot of people that are starting out in spiritual practices, it's kind of like, ooh, cool, past lives. It's something they can learn about. However, we don't need to remember them. If you're self-aware enough to know how you feel in every moment, you can transform those feelings and it'll just dissolve the pattern wherever it comes from. So
yeah,
you're definitely right about that. I mean, who's got time for that anymore? I mean, but you know,
I agree with you. It feel like it's a waste of time.
It's part of a learning curve though. And so I used to go all the way to the past life, undo the past life there. So it had the domino effect to now, but it still is present in the, everything is now, like they say, everything is now. So why go there if you, you know, and the only way to move forward is to reclaim that which you're experiencing now as the love light that it is, because that's really what the future is. It's all about that. That's what we're moving more into, whether we like it or not.
I just love you, Siobhan. I just love everything that you're doing. So, let's chat just briefly with our time here today about that transitioning that energy. So when we talk about that, that's what it is. This is emotional energy that we're working with. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you would guide our audience with? Just a couple tips or tricks of how they can start doing that for themselves in order to start healing?
Well, the way that we work with people, and you know, if it's all right, April, you know, whoever would like a complimentary MP3 golden light meditation download, I'd be happy to send it to them if I have an email address to send it to. But that's really how we get people started, is we familiarize themselves. We refamiliarize you with what you're made of, which is love. And in this dimension, it happens to be the golden light. And so when we begin to work with the golden light, it's not about having any expectations. It's about allowing the process to unfold. The mind wants to move things along and get to results and manipulate the picture. And it's just really about learning how to be and allow so things can come up. And so we acquaint people with the golden light in a meditation practice. We have you see, feel every cell of you that way. You can take yourself on great elaborate journeys. And the more that you can create this inner world around this light, the more you're going to be able to experience it. Grounding is a huge part of it. There's nowhere to go. You learn how to manage your energy and keep your spirit in the body, because we're not taught to work with it in a way that keeps it all the way down below our feet. It just drifts out of the body all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to create a conscious cooperative relationship with the spirit and the body. So you're working with it in order to have it learn to incorporate itself more and more into the denser bodies. And the only way I've found to actually effectively do that is to transform emotional energy so it can begin to live even within the form itself. So the form gets transformed. And so, hey, I think that's what Yeshua did, right? When the rock rolled away and he wasn't there, I'm like, he just went poof, he's out of here. He just went back into everything he was. You really are everything. So you go back to the nothing from where you came. Yeah. You can reclaim every part of yourself here because every part of yourself is the love you're, you know, reclaiming. So, and metaphysically, so we'd start with the meditation and then we would take you through the process, because the most important part of this inner alchemy that we teach is to be able to not just quiet the mind, but be present in the body while the mind is quiet and work with the consciousness you've made conscious in order to effectively work with the parts that don't yet know that they too are light. Because there's nothing but light here. So many people will agree with that, yet they still believe in evil.
Yeah, it's just energy.
It's just energy. And it's energy. Easy for people to look at it that way. And people will agree, yes, everything's energy and energy is everything. And we're not saying that in this dimension, these things don't exist, because this dimension is a dualistic dimension as we normally experience it. But in truth, it's all love. And unless we come to the truth of love, we're never going to have any other experience.
Yeah, because it's all continuously recycled. It's just like, you know, I as a hypnotherapist, that's mm-hmm. what you teach is
yes.
our, you know, we have an experience with an emotional response that becomes a continuous thought pattern. And because it's a continuous thought pattern, it turns into a belief, even though it couldn't be further from the truth, but that's the you know, emotions you were feeling at the time. That's why it's very important to whatever experience you have to be very keen on how you're emotionally feeling about it.
The emotional energy, actually, the physical body begins to form in the womb, and emotional energy is part of this physical experience. So we're just imprinted with it from the time we're conceived until we're about 8 years old, 9 years old, and then the mental body is able to discern. So in that time, we're just a sponge absorbing everything in our environment, and then our environment reflects how we feel. And then when the mind kicks in, the mind identifies how it feels, and then magnifies the feeling, which then becomes an emotion. It sets that feeling free, which then becomes an emotion. So it's a reaction to a feeling. They're two different things. Mm. And so we, you know, the way we learn to manage that is by realizing how small that feeling is within us that actually gets magnified through the energies that are around us in our environment. But it's, you know, you have to become self-aware. You have to really become self-aware, not to beat yourself up, but just to love yourself more so you can correct yourself energetically in these moments and breathe easier mm-hmm. and, you know, dissolve stress and anxiety is another huge thing. People don't understand really what anxiety is. And anxiety is the spirit drifting so far out of the body that the body goes into panic mode because it knows that if the spirit leaves the body's going to die. So what does the body do? It goes, because you breathed in the consciousness we're talking about when you took your first breath at birth. That's when that higher consciousness entered the body. And so it's doing everything it can to keep that spirit in the form so the form can continue to live. But if you learn how to work with that spirit and manage that energy, then you're not going to have these experiences. You know, people don't understand. It's there's like this big bubble. Yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot.
That's such a beautiful way to, you know, say that because it is what it is, you know, where spirit is just leaving the body. And so that's where you're
never told. We're taught to live up here in the mental body. And if you look at yourself as this big golden orb of light that's connected to the solar plexus by a silver cord, that's the part of you breathed when you took your first breath coming onto this planet. It anchored itself there. So when you get up in the morning, this balloon doesn't know what to do. It's like a child doesn't know when to go to bed at night. It's never been given guidance. It just drifts out of the body because that's where you're told it's important to be. I have to know, I have to think, and I'm living in this world and thinking is everything, and I can agree and I can divide, and that's what's safe. But when you learn how to be, you know, work with that spirit, that beautiful bubble of light, and bring it all the way down, you know, below your feet and learn how to manage your energy there, Golden light is a non-resistant energy in this dimension. That's why it works so beautifully, because you don't protect yourself from the evil out there. You're just being who you are. So it has no ability to affect your experience.
Siobhan, when you talk about the golden light, and yes. I assume this, like you said, it's a meditation. And mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I'm going to have to get that meditation from you. And I'm going to ask, what's the easiest way to access that? So I have displayed here on the screen throughout for those of you viewing and watching. It is www.siobhannicolaou.com. And the spelling of that, for you're going to need to double check that. So it is in the description below. And for all of those of you listening in, double check that spelling. Make sure you check it out. Siobhan, is that a location that people can get that download meditation?
Actually, if you would like to email me, that would be fine at sovereignmastery@gmail.com.
All right, let me write that in.
Sovereign can be tricky, the E and the I.
Spell that. I got it.
Yeah. I can put it in the chat if you would like.
Sovereignmastery@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Do I have it right?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll have that on the screen here for a little bit as we continue our chat. And so I really appreciate that. And it does sound as if this golden light is accessed, you know, as we are doing meditations, visualizations. I'm curious, what area of the body do you concentrate that on? Do you start at the front and drip it down through or around?
What we do is we have someone sit, we focus on the first chakra because it's, hey, the first chakra. So we you get people really grounded. We familiarize themselves with bringing their attention to, you know, the center and then really getting quiet. And we teach you how, through the golden light grounding meditation, teaches you how to be in many different places simultaneously, which is really a fun thing. And there are different ways we show people how easy it is to do that, but it's very subtle. So when the mind is trying to figure it out in the meditation, it's not able to do it. So we would invite you just to listen to the words and allow it to happen. You know, if you're good at following instructions instead of trying to figure everything out, you're not going to have a problem with it. I'm not never been much of a thinker, you know, it's just because I love my imagination. It's like I'm also an artist. And so, you know, I just allow it. I can imagine it. If you have an imagination, you can see it. So we work with the base of the spine. We get your energy really grounded first. And we have you bring a part of your feeling awareness to this other part. But what we have you do is open the crown chakra and imagine a golden ball of light above your head. And then that ball of light pours the golden light into your head. And people say, well, if it's what I'm made of, why do you do that? And I say, because that's the only way you can relate to it right now. So the golden waterfall of light is just reacquainting you with the essence of who you are, and using it again and again and again will awaken that consciousness within the physical you. And that's where the magic begins. You'll start to notice all kinds of things. I get calls from people, they go, oh my God, I've been using this meditation and now I'm just really irritable. I'm like, great, it's working. Now, you know, because the emotions that are below the line of the solar plexus, where nobody wants to go, most of the negative emotions within a physical body are below the line of the solar plexus. And most people choose to meditate from the upper part of the aura out. But when you get down below the line and you bring love to these parts of you that have not experienced love, then they are just like, they get it. They want more of that. So if you look at every negative emotion as a cry for love, then you're never going to hear it as anything but a child who's trying to get your attention, because that's in fact what it is. It's always the child in you, because that's when you got all of that imprints, is when you were a child. And the child is just letting you know how it feels, period. And even if someone triggers you, it's never them.
Right.
If you're triggered by that, it's a child in you that's really, that's resonating with it. And it's all energy. So if you're charged by it, then it's something in you. And whether you like it or not, whether you ever admit it or not, I've never found one thing that hasn't been me. And I've not ever found one thing that was not present in my childhood.
Yeah.
So yeah. And if you just face yourself with love without, instead of judgment, it's like, who cares? How many of us were allowed to express the how we felt about any given situation? I know in my family, we weren't.
Right. No, I think that's, I think it's very rare. And I think that maybe more people are coming, you know, becoming conscious enough to start leading their children into that. And yes. I think we're living in an incredible day and age to where just as this information is able to be spread globally, you know, we are learning more and more and being open to expressing ourselves.
Well, and I think so. I don't know. I'm really not that old, but I feel like I woke up in the dinosaur age compared to, you know, this last generations, because the consciousness was still so thick at the time I was born. And it's just incredible, the children now and the way consciousness and things has evolved so much to allow these beings who just, it's like water off a duck's back. Like, they don't even resonate with it in a lot of ways. They're not part of this reality like we were born into in my generation. So a lot of really good stuff's happening, but it's really the perspective that you have toward these things. And if you're dividing and judging, you're just never going to, you're always going to run from it and just see it as an angry child who wants your attention, and think of it as a child outside of you. If you saw a child who was scared or angry or sad or any negative emotion, stressed out, what would you do? 9 times out of 10, people would go straight to that child, bend down and go, is everything okay? What can I do for you? It's gonna be okay. Give that child a hug. But the key to this work as well is to allow the child, and you can't do it from a mental process. There is no thinking involved in this. That's why we have to work with people to really get them grounded first. But when that child arises from within this area in the physical body, it's giving them permission to express how they felt for the first time while they're contained in the consciousness of love. Because if you're not contained in the consciousness of love and you are emoting, you are part of the problem, because you emit that energy back into the field of duality and it just keeps getting bigger. Every time you have a negative thought, every time you spew things about certain people, anything like that, it just becomes part of the problem. Because right. It's a thing out here that is reflected from all the division within us. And I even believe that pollution on earth doesn't exist. It's a reflection of all the pollution within each one of us, collectively creating the garbage and the
collective.
Yeah. The collective garbage. And Mother Earth is like, well, thanks for, you know, creating my aura. I think I've had enough.
Yeah.
You have to know, if you're not going to, you know, come to love, there's going to be, you know, we're going to force you to do it. So.
Yeah. Yep. I 100% at some point there, that's going to be like, that's enough. Thank you. So Siobhan, you've been such an incredible guest on the Wellness Driven Life Show. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing so much wisdom. My goodness. I think you're just a brilliant shining light of a human being. Thank you. So just briefly, if you wouldn't mind, share with us your books and then tell us, what are you most excited about creating at this time?
Okay. Well, my first book is called The Absence of Evil, Love's Reclamation of the Soul. And it takes you through my adventurous journey from my awakening to, you know, everything spirit put in my path to evolve to the point that I am now, to really be effective in helping you now get up to speed, because time is of the essence now. So I'm well equipped to help you wake up to the extent that you have to in a short amount of time. So The Absence of Evil is really great. It takes you through my personal journey of awakening and all through all the experience necessary, which has been nothing short of, I don't know, a miracle. So it's really great. My second book I'm really excited about that I'm writing right now is all the science, metaphysics, and everything related to the differences in the frequencies of light that we use here, and the reasons why we address mental illness and physical illness and all these other things that are really important. You know, as energy, and people can agree with that, but there's a way to work with it so it actually is effective. These tools that we teach are lasting in their effect. Like, there were so many things that you can do and it's just short-lived. But when you experience something that's lasting, you know, it does take a while to use the tools. And then you realize, wow, there is a point where You just got to keep going and it shifts. Your consciousness will shift continually throughout these processes. And there are many more ways we can help you do that. So what I'm excited about, I'm excited about this next phase we're all getting ready to move into. I think there's going to be a lot more people waking up more dramatically, like I did when all those years back then, when this woman, Frederica, said something to me so simply and the whole veil dropped from my eyes. And I think that things are going to happen where those veils are going to start dropping from people's eyes and they're really going to get it. In that moment, and that's going to be pivotal, and more people are going to move in the way of the light, and that shift in consciousness is coming, and I think it's going to be more on a collective level, and that's very exciting to me. This is what my life is. It's not my job. It's my life, and it warms my heart to see this coming to fruition in others, because I know it's why I'm here. And so it's like the next generations to see how they're benefiting from everything that we've done is just really, really wonderful. And we're all in it together, and I'm happy to be with you all. So. Aww.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a leader in this for others. And again, thank you so much for being on the Wellness Driven Life Show. You've been an incredible guest.
And thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for our guests and for our audience, excuse me, because truly without you and the guests, the show would not be possible. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure if you have comments, leave them in the comment section. I'll do my best to answer. And if Siobhan happens to see the questions, she will answer as well. Check her out on our website. All of these are going to be in the description below. I'm going to add the email as well in the description below. Reach out to her. I mean, she's an incredible human being. If you've gotten this far in this, then you know that and you like it. So reach out and check us out. So thank you again. Goodbye for now.
Bye.
And we will see you all next time.
Ciao.